This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Thursday, November 1st, 2018, The Solemnity of All Saints, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Whose words of our Lord Jesus Christ should give us pause on this day in which we celebrate the festival of All Saints. We have to understand that they are what they are because of their actions. Their actions at the guidance of the Holy Spirit, their actions in honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. These who have attained the kingdom of heaven. That's who we honor today, those who have the beatific vision. They have earned what we desire. They have attained eternal bliss. They have everlasting life, that which we aspire. They have gained the supreme happiness that will never end. There is no fleeting nature of what they have. It is inconceivable for us to even try to contemplate something that's good that doesn't go away eventually, that will never cease to be less good than we feel. I mean, we get real excited about stuff in this life, but there's only so much excitement. You know, you want to remember when you're a little kid and you got to go to Disney or wherever. You're so excited and you get there after the afternoon. Okay, another line. The excitement wanes. We're talking about a bliss that will never wane. It will never get old. We can't conceive of that now. How can beings circle around the altar of God 24/7 and say, holy, holy, holy? How boring would that be? Not in any way, shape, or form is it boring. We have to appreciate that. The ones who see that vision right now are the saints who are in heaven, those whom we celebrate. Who are they and what did they do to get there? Who are they? They run the gamut. Oh, the saints. We hear about them at every Mass. Yes, that's some of them. But if you, for instance, are into your faith a whole lot and you might have or have ever read the 4-volume set of Butler's Lives of the Saints, 4 big old thick volumes, there are a bunch of saints for every single day. Them too. And guess what? Those who outnumber them exponentially, who we don't know their names. Nobody but in their small circle of community may have ever known their names. Some little pious woman who lived in some woods in Germany or in France or wherever, who was conceivably, very conceivably, more pious than St. Francis. St. Francis became a saint later on in life. Okay, I don't mean his sainthood as in when he died. I'm talking about becoming pious. It started later in his life. There are some people who have a saintly life from the time they're born. We don't know their names. They touch a lot of souls. They were heroic in their faith. We don't know them. We celebrate them today just like we do St. Francis or St. Boniface or name your saint. All saints who have the beatific vision. That's who they are. It goes a whole lot farther than the ones we hear in the Mass. But this is more important. What did they do? This isn't like a history lesson to give you, you know, oh, here, look at this guy and, you know, appreciate what he did. This question asked, what did they do, is for each and every one of us. Because they have what they have because of what they did in this life. They wanted something. They desired it. They wanted eternal life. And they worked their tails off to get it. They shunned the things of this world. They shunned the world. Their focus was on things above, not on things below. and they completely disassociated themselves from this, and they did things that are unnatural and antithetical toward our human nature. They humbled themselves. They humiliated themselves. They fasted, sometimes to a detriment. They performed corporal works of penance. That's why they're saints now. Unfortunately, in our day, what they did to get to heaven is actually negated in a lot of circles. Corporal works of penance. We don't do that anymore. Yes, it's quite obvious that we don't do that anymore, because the church is a whole lot less holy because people don't do that anymore. They wanted to get to heaven. They did things like this. And I will submit to you that we need to do things like this to get to heaven also. There is not a saint that has the beatific vision, not a saint who just went to Mass on Sunday, who did bare minimums. It does not happen. It cannot happen. God is merciful, and He lets people into heaven whom He wants. But if you know what the saints did to attain this, you will do likewise. This is what they did. That's why they were persecuted for righteousness' sake. I always tell people how many times I say this, but it's true. I get bent out of shape occasionally when I think that a whole lot of people, I think a whole lot more people ought to dislike me. A whole lot of more people ought to persecute me. I'm not doing a good enough job being a Catholic because I don't receive enough flack for it. We should be receiving flack. You should be receiving flack from members of your own faith because you're a fanatic. You're consumed with this. You can be too faithful. Impossible. It cannot happen. That is what makes you a saint. That's why when we look at the saints, it's not just following their example for what they did. It is more so for desiring what they have. Heaven. They were like Jesus Christ. Men and women were like Jesus Christ. They were self-giving. They did not care about their own personal safety. We're going to feed you to lions. So, deny your faith. No. We can't get our head around that. That's why they're in heaven. They were like Jesus. Because Jesus Christ is that crown of sainthood that's on their head. Today, in the old breviary, the invitatory for the first, Regem Regum Dominum Venite Adoremus Qui Ipse Est Corona Sanctorum Omnium. The Lord, the King of Kings, let us go adore Him, for He Himself is the crown of all the saints. We have to appreciate that about them. We don't venerate them because, St. Francis, you did this, that, and the other thing, that made you great. Name your saint again, whatever one you like. It's not because they were great, it's because Jesus Christ made them great through the power of His Holy Spirit, through His guidance and direction, and their protection in this world. Not protection against getting thrown to lions, protection against turning their backs on their faith. This is what they did. They were like Jesus Christ. So what do we do to attain this? We have to strive, just like they did, for true happiness. A happiness that never ends. And it takes work. It does not suffice to go to Mass on Sunday. That's all I'm obliged to. So what? So what? You know, people a long time before you were obliged to a whole lot more. And a whole lot of them are not in heaven. And we've mitigated and mitigated and mitigated. Shorten this. Take this out. You don't have to do this anymore. It's to souls' detriments. It truly is. This can sound like, well, you can't be happy in this world. Yes, you can. The saints were. The saints were happy. Not happy in this temporal goofy sense, but happy to do what they were doing for Jesus Christ. St. Rose of Lima. She was beautiful. That was a gorgeous woman. and a lot of guys paid attention to her. And she squeezed hot pepper juice on her face to make it swell up and cut off her hair. So she was not attractive. Saints do things like that. I am not suggesting in any way, shape, or form that if you like what you see in the mirror, to squeeze pepper juice on your face. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you have to go out of your way if you really care that much. Saints do things that we don't because that's what made them our examples. But the example of doing such things is an example for us that we need to strive also. We need to put ourselves out. We need to do things that are a rub against our humanity. Humbling yourself, setting aside your own pride, not defending yourself, even when it comes to false accusations. I was talking to somebody today and I was speaking of St. Marina. Google St. Marina. In short, St. Marina wound up at a monastery disguised as a monk. She cut off all her hair, and the story goes that she was accused by a woman because she went out into town one time with some other monks to do some business, and they had to stay at an inn, and she was accused of being the father of a child. And the father of this pregnant lady went to the abbot and said, "One of your monks," and St. Marina just got on her knees, didn't say a word, just got on her knees and bent down before the abbot. And she was sentenced for the rest of her life to horrible penance for the rest of her life in that monastery, and she endured that penance. She could have at any moment said, "Huh, couldn't have been me." But she was not found out until her deathbed when they were preparing her body for burial. And the abbot came and did penance at her bedside, as did the father of the girl. And then ultimately the girl and her father and the father of the child came and did penance at her bedside. We're so quick to defend ourselves if somebody says something about us. How quick are we to defend ourselves? I'm right. They're wrong. Everybody's got to know that. Why? Why? Jesus was right. And he didn't speak up when they were spitting on him or hitting him with reeds. You can be happy in this world because that is if your sights are set on the things that are above and the things that await you, not things that are fleeting. The Roman Catechism says, unless happiness is permanent and certain, we are necessarily a prey to the most tormenting apprehension. Why do a lot of people have apprehensions in their spiritual life? Oh, I keep falling. Stop falling. Stop doing what you're doing. Stop putting yourself in that position. I is relying on yourself to keep you out of those things. It's an apprehension. If you are truly happy, you will be focused on the one who can keep you from doing that, and you just stop for his sake. And then you are happy, and there is no apprehension. We can be happy. That's second reading today from 1 John. In the last verse, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself and is pure. Our happiness here is a hopeful happiness, not a hope as in I anticipate something may happen. No, it can happen. Our Lord Jesus Christ has promised you eternal life if you conform to his will and his word. The saints continued the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ in their day, and we're called to do the same thing right now. The incarnation is not something that stopped in the manger. The incarnation goes on. Jesus Christ's real presence in this world, in the church, in his priesthood, in the sacraments, you are his church. You make him incarnate in this world. People see Jesus Christ in flesh and blood, and if we as his people fall short of that, as much as we can strive to attain to his image and conform ourselves to his will in this world, as long as we're doing that to the utmost of our ability, you will be saints someday. The saints continued the incarnation. To be a saint, we must do so. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.